from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
I saw when you had the quote, like, my job is to rewrite history, and people are like, oh, he's so cocky. I was like, no, it actually shouldn't be that
my
hard.
My job. That is my job. They brought me here for reasons.
Like, what's the line between cocky and confident?
Yeah, I think the difference is knowing yourself. I also think the biggest part is the people around you. And the second one is probably how hard you work.
Look, I think it's kind of silly sometimes when we're like, praise dudes for being like wise. Like, I don't need life wisdom from Caleb Williams. If he's too cocky right now, if he's more cocky than confident, that's fine. I just need him to not be a jackass to his teammates.
And he's not.
He's not.
He's not.
That's all we need. Gabe Ramirez and Matt Spiegel are with you on 670 The Score. Gabe, I've seen video of myself when I was like 20, 21, when I thought I knew everything.
Don't we all?
Oh, dude. The arrogance. I thought I was wise, thought I was profound.
I'm not a teenager anymore, guys.
You know, I've been around for a while.
Come on.
I've been through some stuff now, and let me tell you.
I have my high school diploma. Honestly, guys.
I've been to college. I went to Europe once. And here's some stuff that I learned as I was looking at castles in Germany. And I'm really thoughtful, you know? Like, I just didn't know freaking squat, man. And it's like, but I thought I did. But was I an a-hole? I don't think so. So, like, even if you're, like Caleb's got to get along with 30-somethings and 50-somethings. You know what I mean?
Well,
and they got to collaborate, so we can't be an a-hole. And I don't think he is.
No, and you see how he operates with Roma Dunze specifically, where if you pay attention to Hard Knocks and just any of the training camp videos, that is the only wide receiver that he is actually telling what to do. Yeah, right there, Papa, you got to go to the left, then you want to do this. You never see him saying that to Keenan or DJ. It's only to Roma Dunze. But I get it. He's like the star quarterback that's used to being the star quarterback and having to tell wide receivers what to do in certain instances. And he's not used to having a Keenan Allen and DJ Moore on his team.
Yeah, I wonder. We haven't seen any video of that, but I wonder if he has even once told Keenan Allen what to do on a route.
I think he might be too scared for that.
Hard Knocks episode 3 was last night. Lots of takeaways. We're going to walk you through a couple of them from our perspective here on The Score. Caleb and Floos watching film at the top of this thing. And I love that Eberflus is with me on the slide. Still needs some work.
Still needs some work.
Late on the kick. Eberflus said it was a little late on the kick. That is correct. So, and he looked a little hesitant going into it in the first game. Everybody's like, oh, look, the slip and slide's working. I'm like, no, that was the one moment where he looked like he was overthinking it a little
just
bit.
Just a tad.
He's trying to get there. I get it.
We watch enough baseball. We know what a slide should look like.
Damn Skippy.
And
damn
I know
Skippy.
I've seen Tyson Bajan in the video where he extends the outer arm to kind of guide his slide.
Yes.
And Caleb was a little late on that as well.
Yes.
So two things that right there that could have been a little bit
still
better.
Still need some work.
But Caleb thought he was on point with the slide.
I know. And I love that he thought he was on point. And Floos
was
like,
so. I thought that was good.
I don't know. Listen to me. I'm the coach. And that's fine. But then he kind of reiterated something that he said in the press conference after the game about what he learned from playing.
Okay, so what do you think you learned from that, from the whole experience yesterday?
Practice is harder than the game.
Well, you know what? That's true.
Yeah.
You know, practice is harder than the game.
Yeah.
So look, practice being harder than the game, and this is a theme in what he has said. There's a Ryan Poles clip going around. I think he said it actually with Hogue on CHGO about how the game slowed down for Caleb, that it wasn't as fast as the practice. You know, like, and we'll talk to Hogue about it, but like this whole thing of like, Iron does sharpen iron, baby. I love this Bears defense against this Bears offense every day.
And they love to compete against each other. You heard it, saw it a lot in the beginning. Was like, hey, it's not your fault that we're that good. Sorry, offense doesn't have to be the way. Yeah. But you saw also, you saw Ryan Poles talking to Ian Cunningham at the beginning of the second episode where he's like, he looks better. Where they're seeing it in real time, the level of calmness that Caleb Williams has, and then they were able to see it in actual game action as well, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Big old Tyson Bagent segment, you know, and it's so funny because that guy's been like a Bears conversational football that goes back and forth over the last year and change, and he strip away all the noise of that conversation for a moment. And who annoys you in the conversation? And maybe it's me with the QB2 party, which was definitely tongue-in-cheek. But all I was celebrating is that they found a backup, and I stand by it. But anyway, strip away the noise. That dude is a great story.
Yeah.
He is a great story. And that is an awesome Senior Bowl find by Luke Getsy, by the way. So give him credit for that. And to be an undrafted Division I free agent, solidly your number two quarterback that everybody in that room was feeling good about, including Matt Ryan.
D2 quarterback. And I was going to say, Matt Ryan, when he comes in and speaks so highly of him from the beginning.
Yeah.
Which you're shocked about. One, I didn't know that Ryan Poles was his offensive lineman at Boston College. That was cool.
Very close advisor, Matt Ryan. They talk a lot, apparently.
And you'd love to have a guy like that on your side. I'm sure he was confiding in him, Ryan Poles was, when they were discussing the Justin Fields situation and what direction the Chicago Bears should move in. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he leaned on him to give an opinion about Justin Fields. And I just like he did in the present about Caleb Williams and Tyson Bagent. But Tyson Bagent, I love the fact that he, in his mind, which you want your QB2 to feel that way. He's like, I'm no, you know, quarterback room chump.
Yeah.
I'm here to play ball.
I'm not just a coach. I can play. I got things I want to prove.
Yeah. But that's what you want.
That's what you want.
You want a guy who feels capable when he gets into that game.
Absolutely, but doesn't bring an a-hole attitude to the QB room. Mm-mm. And knows that it's Caleb's show.
Can I say something, too, that I thought was really telling?
Please.
You know, I've pay attention closely to nonverbals. And one of my degrees is behavioral communication. And there's one scene in Hard Knocks where Tyson Bagent and Caleb Williams are talking. And there is a green purse, I call it, on Caleb's desk.
Skibbity-bobbity.
And they're talking, but Caleb Williams takes it upon himself to move the bag out of the way in the scene.
Saw that.
So that way there can be an open line of communication. I think little things like that are important, right? You value your backup QB. You as an individual are aware and understand, I shouldn't leave this here because it's rude. So there's small things like that that I picked up that make me really enjoy having Caleb Williams around the locker room, and clearly the players do as well, because you hear guys like Kyler Gordon talk about the chemistry in the locker room.
Yes.
And how that is feeling so much better than it's ever felt.
What's the word he used? Uncommon.
Uncommon, yes.
They have an uncommon chemistry.
I love that.
Yeah, man. Well, they got that. They all have that feeling that we do as Bears fans. They're next. They got that next feeling that's going on right now.
I also feel like that's the best discourse we've had about Caleb Williams' bag, because every discourse has been like, why does he have a bag? And you actually like, oh, he moved the bag for good.
Dude, have you seen any?
How can you take it seriously when a guy's got a purse? Skibbity-bobbity.
Those are the people that are never around 22-year-old men, because all of them carry purses nowadays, basically. If not a book, it's either a book bag or a purse, one of the other guys.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought Austin Reed's singing was the best of the karaoke moments so far.
Little Keisha Cole.
Yeah, I need to give a nod to our guy Anthony Heron, karaoke psychologist. We established this yesterday. So I'd love to know. He likes to break down the psychology in the room when karaoke has gone on, because he fancies himself a genius of karaoke. And I have to say it that way every time to be as annoying as Anthony is when he says it. I think I can do it. But we got a lot about the pursuit of Matthew Judon. And as we're kind of walking you through our takeaways on the Hard Knocks episode, I thought it was really interesting to find out how legit that pursuit was in terms of them doing they ran an analytical model to figure out where he stood among all defensive ends. Montez Sweat was 13th, right?
Yeah.
And Judon was 50th, but he only played 4 games. So they're like, yeah, it'd be good. And they were trying to figure out, there's a little more of the trade discussion that's going on, because New England was going to give him up for a 3rd round pick, but they were going to have to sign him. to an extension. So this is a little bit of the conversation between Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham about Matthew Judon.
He's got some things working, huh?
Yeah.
Think we'll get it over the finish line?
I do.
Yeah.
Our language is basically saying if the contract's not signed, then he reverts back to New England.
Got it.
Cover, so.
What do we get?
It'd be a three. So all that would happen fast.
Yeah, okay. So. Just keep me posted.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
So they get the three. They give up the three, but the language in the contract in the trade said, if we don't sign him, he goes back to you.
And I love the fact that after that, they were able to speak to Ryan Poles directly, right, after he went to the Atlanta Falcons and said, hey. And Ryan Poles says, hey, man, we can't just give up a third-round pick and have there be uncertainty here. And then Ian Cunningham, in great assistant GM mode, says, yeah, but we didn't give up a bunch of money. We didn't have to pay a bunch of money to Judon either. And he's like, yeah, you're right. All right, that makes a bunch of sense. But I think, Spiegs, this goes to show you where this Bears front office thinks this team is. When they're ready to add a guy like Matthew Judon, it is because they think they are close, that close. Just like the Atlanta Falcons felt the same way, willing to give up that draft capital to add that caliber of a player on your team in order to propel you to that next level, maybe get you a game or two. And I think that is where the Bears see themselves, whereas most are like they'll be on the outside looking in. I think this front office feels as though they're closer than people think.
Yeah, well, but it's not quite all the way there, though, right?
Not at all.
It's not quite like this is Super Bowl time.
No.
This is competition time. It's winning time, but it's not put us over the top to win a Super Bowl time.
It's get me to the playoffs and let's see what happens time. Not get me to the playoffs so we can assure a Super Bowl berth.
Yeah, and they don't want to lock themselves into salary issues with two veterans getting paid at that position, especially when there's a kid they traded up to get.
And that's, I love that.
Oh, dude, the whole stuff about Austin Booker, three different phone calls to teams in the 140s, like hey, we'd like to trade up here.
Spiegs, didn't you feel good for the guy that actually made the connection? Because we know what that guy's feeling. He's trying his hardest, and he's like, thank God I'm the one that made this phone call, and it wasn't Ian Cunningham, it wasn't Ryan Poles, it was me saying, oh, we're good to go?
Yeah.
Like, we're good to go, everybody.
But it was like a validation of the kind of conversations that have been going on all offseason. Do they need another edge rusher? Well, what could they do? They could trade for one. Well, maybe Matthew Judon. Well, all the free agents, they go out and get one of those, but maybe they got the kid. Do they believe in Austin Booker? And now we've seen game film on Austin Booker, and we saw a ton of practice film and heard from him last night. If you think he's a sleeper, listen to him.
I'm a sleeper. No, not many people know about me. I'm going to continue to get better in the shadows, and they're not going to know what's coming.
I love that. And Ryan Pohl said it too. Right when they made that phone call and they hung up, they said, give that guy a year. He's going to be a guy.
I'm going to get better in the shadows. What we do in the shadows. We played Montez Sweat talking about Booker yesterday. And it was awesome. It was saying like, oh, that kid is way more advanced than I was when his
really
age. Oh yeah.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, Montez went on about Booker. I mean, great stuff. And I like that kid. I'm feeling pretty good about it myself.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at Austin Booker, I mean, certainly he's made an impact. That's his Daniel Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
Another defensive end that, you know, is getting an opportunity with the Chicago Bears and making the most of it. And I think where most Bears fans were concerned about the defensive end position and who would what that would look like opposite Montez Sweat, but it seems they have a nice three-headed monster that's going to be rotating in and out and hopefully not only creating pressure on the quarterback but creating ruckus on the line to add to the Bears run defense that is so stout in the present.
So, and then that whole segment with the Bengals practice, like, you can see why coaches love those scrimmage style practices against the other team. That was ramped up. They were hitting, weren't they?
That was fun. It was like, and if you play in Chicago, weather cannot be an issue. I was like, yeah, you're right. Damn it. Get out there. Throw the ball. Catch it. Let's go.
And then they used this track under the highlights, and I had to go get it. And I didn't know it. The Electric Peanut Butter Company, they used this under Jalen Johnson highlights.
I love it. Uno.
Oh, man.
No, I'm not calling him Jalen Johnson for the rest of the whole season. It's Uno.
I was feeling it, man. And so I went and dug it up. Transatlantic Psychedelic Classics, Volume 1 from the Electric Peanut Butter Company. Let's go. Crank that, Tyler. Let's go.
Yeah, baby. Don't throw the ball my way. I told them don't throw the ball my way. Yeah. Uno in the house, baby. Give me that. We gonna make a pay. It ain't y'all fault.
Right?
I've just recreated Hard Knocks.
You brought us there. But it totally... I broke out Shazam. I broke out the Shazam. I'm like, what is that?
Good.
That's hot. Let's hang out with that for a little while.
I love Jalen Johnson.
He's awesome.
I love him.
We hope to talk to him again in this time slot every week. That is the plan as of right now. It has been tremendous getting to know that dude. And
he's been great radio.
He is not one of those guys who's gonna be like, well, now I got paid, I don't have to keep playing. He's just freaking driven. That dude's motor is obvious in every interaction you see on podium and on field.
Well, he felt slighted not being named top 100 players in the NFL. Clearly, his podium presence let that be known to everyone that was out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about being reinvigorated with this young Chicago Bears secondary. And whereas before there were others in front of him, Eddie Jackson, so on and so forth. And now he has that veteran presence. He is the guy in that room and he loves the talent that he has next to him.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see that level is still at an all-time high.
He was saying, now we playing. I don't know why they keep doing that, brother. It was just such good stuff. Tory Taylor driving around, getting from McCormick Place, the hotel at McCormick Place to Soldier Field. I'm screaming at the TV like, that's my neighborhood.
That's right there.
There it is.
Right behind that.
He's on Michigan Avenue. He's passing Ming Hin, the Chinese restaurant. I'm like, that's my Jimmy John's. That's it right there. That's my Jimmy John's.
Taylor's been by there.
How
impressive is he?
He's very impressive. He's crazy impressive.
Were you when it first happened? Were you? I can't believe the Bears gave up a fourth round pick for him.
No, okay, man. Okay. I'm in. Like I want to be. I don't know if he's got this like massive variety of punts that they're talking about. It's pretty fascinating. Like if he has mastered something, which is crazy to think about. But if the Australian football skills have crossed over and allowed him to master something that people have been working on for 60 years, 70 years, it doesn't seem plausible that it took this long, does
he's
it?
He's like a trick shot guy.
Yeah. You and I are on the same page. Right? I'm like, wait a second. People have been punting forever.
Yeah.
How is it all of a sudden this guy punts differently than everyone else?
Do you remember the first time you saw a Tiger hit like a pitch with a 9-iron that had massive backspin?
Yeah.
And you're like, what? What? How did he figure out? What is that? You know?
I mean, the bounce out of bounds is wild, though, Speaks.
Yeah.
Like the landing on the 7-yard line and bouncing out of bounds, it's video game like. Not like regular punters don't do that.
So I know.
Because if you see him do it and you're like, wait, why isn't everybody doing that? Why isn't everybody punting it out of bounds at the 4-yard line on a punt? And then you're like, oh, because they can't, but he can. Why?
Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird to me.
Texture says that Troy Taylor is interesting or is good, but he's not that interesting. I could see that in terms of TV.
Well, he didn't want to be the crocodile punter.
Doesn't
we know that.
He doesn't want to be the crocodile. I did like when he went over to Caleb and said, I thought you told me I wasn't going to punt. You told me I wasn't going to punt much. What's up with the 3-3 and outs?
And then Caleb went and scored. And he was like, oh, okay, my bad. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Good call. You're telling me. I know I didn't want it. And then one more. The defensive assistant coach, David Overstreet.
Mm-hmm.
Whose father was a hell of a running back who died way too young, by the way. But David Overstreet, this is him talking to the defense. He's praising the defense for what they had done during the game against Cincinnati, Austin Booker and others. And he gave me a new one that I've never heard.
That's how we hit for Chicago Bears. That's how we hit people. You know what I'm saying?
Every time.
Hey, if it's wiggling, you hit it.
Every time.
And that was still wiggling. Great cleanup. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. Because the next time you come through there, he'll look for y'all. You see what I'm saying? That's how you clean somebody up. Y'all make me proud out there. Remind me of myself.
You remind me of myself.
That's usually what my friends say at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. Saturday, if it wiggles, just hit it. But I try to tell them that is not the approach, fellas. That is not respectful.
Take off the beer goggles. If it's wiggling, you hit it. You clean up. Way to clean it up. And then the next time they get out there, they'll be thinking of you. If it's wiggling, you hit it. I'm gonna have to. I need that as part of my lexicon.
Two in a room.
All of Bears season.
Are you? Are we? Are you there with me on music? Two in a room.
I don't know.
Wiggle it.
Just a little bit.
Okay, so you're there. Okay,
I didn't remember the title, but as soon as you say it, I got you. Come on, Gabe. I figured.
Yeah. That's why we're doing this.
The days of running screaming for music talk in this slot are gone.
Okay, sorry.
It's 670 The Score. It's Spiegs and Gabe Ramirez. Let's talk to Roy Wood Jr. because he's a delight. And Chicago is very much in his focus. He's got a cool new show coming we're going to talk about as well. Keep it right here on The Score.
Roy Wood Jr., comedian and lifelong Cubs fan, is going to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Roy Wood Jr.
Let me redeem my terrible first pitch. Sing it loud, Chicago.
Stand-up comedian.
Somebody named Jack want to be called Jill. You can't do that. Meanwhile, half your favorite entertainers have been performing under a fake name. You had no problems with that.
As seen on The Daily Show.
You quit this awesome job at The Daily Show.
Okay.
You don't see it that way.
No, it is an awesome job, but you have to look at what do you want for yourself next.
Host of the 2023 White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Roy's a great guy. I'm going to be fine with your jokes, but I'm not sure about Dark Brandon.
Don't give it up for Dark Brandon. Happy to be here. Oh, real quick, Mr. President, I think you left some of your classified documents up here. You can get to it.
Roy Wood Jr.
I want to know. Who's going to tell him that the job he's currently seeking might just be one of those black jobs?
Is a delightful man. We worked together on the podcast The Run about the Cubs 2016 World Series run. And since then, I have done my part to maintain an extremely one-sided relationship.
Friendship takes effort, Speaks.
Well, you know.
And you've been putting it in, Papa.
I reach out. I ask Roy to come on. He says yes, and then he never asks anything of me. And so far, that's the way it's worked out. It's going very, very well. Roy Wood Jr. joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. You know, I would go on with you for something, Roy, if you need it. You just don't seem to need it very often. Hello and good afternoon.
Well, you know what, man? I always need your love and adulation. So... That is why I call.
That you have. And someday you're going to call me when you need help moving or something. Like I'm just or getting picked up at the airport, and I'm going to have to.
Airport's
say,
a good one.
Yeah,
that's
I'm gonna.
How
have
you
to,
doing up there? How you doing? How you handling all the roadblocks up there?
I was unable.
Everybody
to...
loves democracy till you're waiting on an elected official to go through a red light. And then you're kind of like, maybe we should impeach him.
Joe Biden can't take a helicopter. Why is he in the streets?
Put him on the blue line.
You're right. My local McDonald's was five blocks more difficult to get to because of the DNC. So is traffic annoyance a reasonable factor on which to base my political allegiance, do you think, Roy?
I think if a candidate ran on, I'll never hold you up in traffic. Because here's the thing, traffic makes you change your mind on anything. Like, I've been in the traffic of protests I support, and then I'm like, you know what? No. Now that I'm in traffic, no, I don't agree anymore. Now when I'm on foot, I'm with you. That's like every protest should have an ally lane for people like me to just swerve. I gave money. I've been retweeting your links. Let me get through.
You show a little card when you're walking through, Roy. You're just like, here's my donation slip. Let me go.
The cars around me, they haven't done the work. I have.
Oh, the ally lane. Roy Wood Jr.'s new special is coming eventually to Hulu. Congrats on that. We saw you when you came through town, and it was absolutely outstanding at the Athenaeum. We all learned how to say it, and then we went to see you there, and it was great, man. So how's the ramp up going for that? Because it seemed pretty polished when we saw you, but maybe you got even more polished.
You know, comedy, you're always refining words and stuff changes. Last time I saw you, Biden was still the candidate, so you got to go and change a couple jokes because of that, and then... You know, it'll be fun. We tape in a couple of weeks in DC, and then after that, it's up to Hulu on which way they want to like go in terms of when to put it out. But I'm happy with the material, so you know, once it's done, I get to retire all of those jokes and sit on my couch and enjoy a Little Caesars pizza with a 2 liter of A&W cream soda.
We were just talking about this, Roy.
4 years off my life.
We just had a long pre-show talk about cream soda.
We were talking about how, you know, I like clear cream soda, Roy. And, you know, A&W is like a little on the light brown side. And they have like some blue ones, some pink ones.
That sounds racist. It's not my jam. It sounds racist to me.
No. When you say it sounds racist, that's when it becomes racist.
You're like oddly Aryan about cream soda. I don't like it.
Really. It's just a little bit clearer. You want it that way. But talk to me about this Hulu special a little bit more. I mean, obviously, you know, when you're getting up there, putting something like that together, as you mentioned, you're working on some different stuff, but ultimately you and that crowd, and you know it's game day. You've been working on things for a while. So what's the difference between, you know, that night where you know that's going to be the one that's filmed as opposed to, you know, everything else while you're leading up to it?
The weird thing about jokes is that you can start a joke in one place, and then 3 months later, people are laughing at different parts of it. So it's hard to, like, truly figure out everything. It's almost like if we're going to, like, use football as an analogy as we're getting back into the swing of things. It's like, was it the Niners with Steve Mariucci where they had, and I'm sure other programs do this, but I just know with the Niners, they had 30 plays they run, no matter their down and distance, and then that informed the rest of the game in terms of their play calling. So you start out with, this is the joke I'm doing no matter what, and I'm going to do it, and we'll see if people like it. And then as they adjust to it, well, how does this joke work after this joke, but before this joke, but ahead of this joke? So it's almost like sequencing your pitches in a way to set the audience up and trying to hide punchlines and segue everything. So once you get all of that down, then, you know, I feel like at some point it's pencils down. This is the joke. Either you laugh or you don't. It's too late. Hulu gave me my money. And you go on about your business. I'm not going to be up there completely unprepared, but you definitely, you know, I've tried these jokes in a lot of weird places. I don't know if y'all noticed on my tour schedule, but as is customary, before I tape a special, the week before, I perform in Peoria, Illinois, and Atlanta, Georgia. And it's been that way for all four specials. Because I feel like that is quintessentially my audience.
Really?
That is, if those two groups get it, I'm good.
Is that true? Is that true?
You give me middle to lower income.
Peoria. Yeah.
And you give me black person that at least finished a couple of years of college.
Yeah, Atlanta. You're running the gamut now. I get it. I'm here with you.
You don't even need to have graduated. Just give me that, bro.
You could have just went to Carbondale, but yeah, Peoria, yeah. And then Atlanta.
So are you checking resumes of people on the way in? Like, you don't want graduates. You just want people who went.
Peoria, you know what's there. You all had sex with some woman down in Peoria. It was weird. But you did it because you were young and you were in a drought. So you made the drive and you did it. So you know what it's like. And this club is an institution, the Jukebox in Peoria.
Wow.
It's next door. Well, it closed now, but it's next door to a strip club and across the street from a dirt bike track.
Sounds right.
That's a weekend. That's a weekend right there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. See, I love that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
So Peoria and Atlanta, then you know you're good. That's my theory on pizza, is every pizza I want to get, I want to try it. If it's a new pizza place, sausage and onion. I feel like I learn a lot about the pizza place. Do they care or not? What kind of, how do they cut the onions? Do they make their own sausage? Is it like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I can learn a lot about the love or not by having those ingredients. It kind of fits your Peoria in Atlanta.
When are we going to have a discussion about pizza places who put the cheese, who put the toppings on top of the cheese?
Yes.
Knowing that this, the cheese is a bonding agent to help hold the topping in place, thus ensuring a better plate to mouth transfer. Mm. Like, the level of science, the lack of science that goes into some of these pizza morons. These are people who pay lots of money. They just haven't done the work, bro.
Yeah,
they haven't done the work quite like you. I don't mind. I mean, I'm trying to think. But with your new show, you've done a ton of work. Have I Got News For You on CNN?
Oh, dude, let's tell people about this. Have I Got News For You is an American version of the BBC comedy series, and Michael Ian Black is a funny man. Amber Ruffin is a funny woman. They're serving as the team captains. Starts on CNN at September 14th at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Chicago time. What is your role on this show, Roy Wood Jr.?
Think of this show as a game show with no scoreboard and no scorekeeping. That's all it is. It's a news quiz show. Hell, Around the Horn is more organized than we're going to be. In terms of caring about who wins. But it's essentially, if you think of it in a little bit more of a more formal sit-down version, the way Around the Horn bats around all the stories that you've seen in sports for the day, some serious, some lighter, we're going to do the same thing with news and not just politics. And, you know, CNN is a weird place to do a show like this, but it in an odd way, it feels like the right place because we know the viewers there at least know what the hell happened this week because you're watching, you're choosing CNN on a Saturday night. So you definitely want to be informed. So it's I'm the host, man. And it's Amber and Michael Ian Black. We pair them with a couple of celebs who come in every week.
Wow.
And we just talk about the news. We talk trash about it. We throw jokes about it. We're not getting caught up in like I put it this way. If we were on the air this week, the story would not be Obama's speech or Michelle's speech. It would be Chuck Schumer coming out on stage and literally making a raise the roof motion as if he had two edibles. Like, Chuck Schumer, he came out on stage last night like when you see a buddy getting high, you're like, oh no, we forgot to tell him the brownies had weed in them. And it's too late. He just went on stage.
He's high. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
It hit him.
God.
That's the pocket we're trying to live in. Okay. So, you know, CNN, there's enough doom and gloom that they have to sit in that we're just going to come in and just be the crazy town show that just, you know, makes fun of everything that's happened during the week.
Right. Can we know
one place to
can we know crazy. Who's going to be the first two celebrities on the first show?
They haven't booked them yet. I think a lot of it's going to come down to whoever has some movie, some C-minus movie to come promote.
On a Saturday.
But when you think about the British version, though, bro, the British version has been on for 30 years.
Wow.
So it's not, we're not bringing in something that, well, maybe we don't know. And the other thing that made the British version cool is that elected officials will come and be on the show. So I just think we have to find the officials that are fun and lighthearted and want to be roasted and can roast and can talk about the news and feel comfortable about it. Like Lori Lightfoot would have been a good – why y'all ran her off? Y'all should have given her one more term.
No.
Yes, one more term.
Why?
Now I could say come on the show and she would be like, I absolutely would. That is affirmative.
Oh, man. I, you know what I loved last night was
I feel like I just gave y'all a kidney stone by just saying the word Lori Lightfoot.
No, you're good.
Groaning like you're passing a turd sideways. I apologize.
You're good.
Say Brandon Johnson and see what happens. See how people twist and turn with that one, too.
Hey, man, you deal with big and important things, Roy. You deal with important things. And, I mean, you're going to be mocking some of the most important news in this country. And you got to pay attention. How do the Cubs fit into your information diet? Like what role do they play in your diet of information, sir?
It's interesting, man. Like, really, you know what I really stock up on, or this is going to sound weird. I stockpile episodes of Cubs pregame Shout out to Cole Wright, my man Cliff Floyd. I know Glanville's on there sometimes as well.
Yeah.
And I watch those, you know, because what I miss, like baseball, though, we don't have the This Week in Baseball. Was it Mel Allen? Who was the
Yes.
It's like you don't really have that for the Cubs anymore. And like, I feel like what they do in the studio is enough to give me just a taste of what's happening on the farm and a little bit about what, you know, this thing happened, that thing happened. Oh, Big Ben's going to come out of the bullpen this time. Oh, we're going to start him again. He's back in the rotate. Like that type of stuff. So, you know, it's hard to talk Cubs baseball with somebody who also likes politics, because most people who like politics and know sports, all they know is Aaron Judge, and half of those people confuse him for Jeter. So
that's great. Roy.
Can't even call him racist. I get it. It's the skin tone thing.
Wait, I've been trying to convince Spiegs all show long, Roy, that the Cubs still have a viable chance to make the playoffs. He refuses to be convinced. What are your thoughts on the chances to make it?
We're late in August, man. Now, I'll say this, never forget, we blew a guaranteed playoff run last year in September. What did we lose, Speed? Was it like 10 of 12?
It was like 91% playoff odds in the beginning of September. So that means, to your point, if they're 9% playoff odds, they could just flip that script.
Yeah, we could just pull a reverse Arizona Diamondbacks, because that's who ended up walking us down.
Yep.
And getting that seventh seed and then going all the way, you know, to the World Series. So we could do the same thing. I don't want to count anybody out. I'm sure counsel's still listening in the car, so I don't want them to call back in and bash me or something. But it's not so much what the Cubs are doing or aren't doing, but it's just the Brewers are just, they're just good this year. They're just good. Yeah. And we would need to win like 10 of 15 to like really be in a comfortable place. Yeah. And then at that point, your reward is the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Right, exactly. It's ridiculous. You got room for Caleb and the Bears? This town is buzzing. A Caleb and Poles ticket would win big in this town.
I feel like the city of Chicago, you guys, every year you find one thing to cling all your hopes to, and then things just fall apart for a while. And it was Obama, then it was Kanye, then it was the Cubs. There's always something, you know, good for Caleb, but if he doesn't perform right away, and if Justin Fields starts balling, y'all are going to get mad, like when your ex-girlfriend lost 20 pounds and now she's with a dude that looks better than you. Caleb, at minimum, has to do better than Justin Fields for you all to feel comfortable.
I think he will,
so far,
Roy.
So good.
I think he will.
I'm not saying he won't, but this whole he's got to learn the system and he needs time. There's more impatience than ever. The NFL is the only place where there's an unrealistic level of learning curve for what y'all claim is the most toughest position in sports, is professional quarterback. Now do it right now, immediately, boy. I know you was in college last year eating the cheesy gordita crunch, but you're in the big time now. So y'all got to give him some grace. I hope that he does well. I think he looks good from what I've seen.
Yeah.
But the idea that, yeah, I think we're a 12-5 team that could take on the Detroit Lions.
Yes.
Let's hope.
I feel like the Lions in the North. Yeah. I know I shouldn't say that, but I do.
Yeah, most people do. Yeah, most people do. I just, you know, I hope he doesn't go the way of Kanye. He scared me on that one. You scared me that's where we're going to be looking. Roy Wood Jr., you're the best, man. Thank you for the time, and I'll be ready for that airport call at any point. Ooh. I will leave and get going.
All right, y'all. Take it easy.
Thank you. It's Roy Wood Jr. right there with Spiegs and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score. I like the idea of a cheesy gordita crunch. Adam Hoge from CHGO at the top of the hour right here on The Score.
A 2-2 on the way. Swing and a miss. Strike three and the ball game is over. Cubs win it. It was in the dirt, necessitating a throw by Amaya to first to make the third out official. Baez strikes out for the fourth time in the game, and the Cubs win game one in this series by a score of 3-1.
Were Javi Baez qualified among the batting leaders, he would have the worst OPS in baseball. But he was hurt for a while there and didn't play quite enough. Takes a lot to be a qualified batter and be as bad as Ke'Bryan Hayes is right now at 573, the lone OPS in the 500s among all qualified batters. Robbie Triano and Tyler Ferengul are the producers this week in the afternoon. It's Matt Spiegel and Gabe Ramirez here with you. Gabe, Robbie wants to know, as a lifelong Tiger fan, whether the Cubs would take Javier Baez back.
Yeah, can you please? Please? Standing O yesterday. You guys clearly love him.
You could send him to the South Side. I take him from the White Sox. You know, if you want to trade Benintendi for...
I would rather have Benintendi than Baez. That's how bad it is.
Andrew Benintendi is fourth worst in terms of OPS in all of baseball among qualified batters. You got to play a lot and be really bad, which means you're usually making some money. That's the case for Ke'Bryan Hayes and Andrew Benintendi and Javi Baez both. You'd rather have Benintendi than Javi? At least Javi plays really good defense.
I'd rather have Javi at short.
Yeah. I mean, Javi just doesn't get on base ever. He swings at everything. Doesn't matter where the ball is, Javi is swinging. It's so frustrating to see how much Cubs fans love him and how good he was here. And I was sold a bill of lies. I thought he was going to be great. He comes
exactly,
and he sucks.
Exactly what you feel is exactly what Cubs fans felt about Javi Baez. Towards the end. I mean, it's a real thing. It's funny hearing Robbie trying to explain it to Cubs dumb. And being like, guys, have you seen this guy, Javi Baez? He's crazy. He swings at everything.
You know what's happened? Like, the pitch that has swept the league is this sweeper, this, like, sideways slider. Yes. That goes, it stays lateral, but it goes like right to left on your video screen from the right-handed pitchers.
Yeah.
That's the one he can't lay off. So it changes everything. And Porter Hodge doesn't even have that particular sweeper there. He got him with the fourth strikeout. He got him with a fastball on the inside part of the plate that Javi was, you know, thinking, oh my God, it's a fastball! Or whatever it is.
Because he saw 27 straight sliders to the outside. So then he couldn't imagine that with two strikes, they'd throw him one right down the pipe. But that's exactly what you had to pepper a couple of those in throughout his at-bats. But I'll say this, right? As the resident Puerto Rican here on 670, the score, Javi Baez could do no wrong, my friends. He is like J-Lo. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter if J-Lo's going to get a divorce from Ben Affleck. It doesn't matter, you know, if she makes bad movies or bad albums. You embrace her. And Cubs fans do the same thing, just like Puerto Ricans do. And they just embrace Javi because he is a star, regardless of what actually happens on the diamond.
Is J-Lo getting another divorce from Ben Affleck?
That's what people are saying, that she just filed for the...
They gave me renewed hope in The Power of Love.
No. It's a reminder that you broke up with someone for a reason. And you think you might want to circle back, but that's just because you're lonely and you think you need to be with someone always. I'm not talking about Jalen, I'm talking about people in general.
Oh, yeah, no, I caught it. I caught that you had transitioned onto people in general. Beware of loneliness. Adam Hogue's not lonely.
No.
How about that segue? How about that segue right there? He's got us to talk to next about the Bears on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
A 2-2 on the way. Swing and a miss. Strike three and the ball game is over. Cubs win it. It was in the dirt, necessitating a throw by Amaya to first to make the third out official. Baez strikes out for the fourth time in the game, and the Cubs win game one in this series by a score of 3-1.
Were Javi Baez qualified among the batting leaders, he would have the worst OPS in baseball. But he was hurt for a while there and didn't play quite enough. Takes a lot to be a qualified batter and be as bad as Ke'Bryan Hayes is right now at 573, the lone OPS in the 500s among all qualified batters. Robbie Triano and Tyler Ferengul are the producers this week in the afternoon. It's Matt Spiegel and Gabe Ramirez here with you. Gabe, Robbie wants to know, as a lifelong Tiger fan, whether the Cubs would take Javier Baez back.
Yeah, can you please? Please? Standing O yesterday. You guys clearly love him.
You could send him to the South Side. I take him from the White Sox. You know, if you want to move, if you want to trade Benintendi for,
I would rather have Benintendi than Baez. That's how bad it is.
Andrew Benintendi is fourth worst in terms of OPS in all of baseball among qualified batters. You got to play a lot and be really bad, which means you're usually making some money. That's the case for Ke'Bryan Hayes and Andrew Benintendi and Javi Baez both. You'd rather have Benintendi than Javi? At least Javi plays really good defense.
I'd rather have Javi at short.
I mean, Javi just doesn't get on base ever. He swings at everything. Doesn't matter where the ball is, Javi is swinging. It's so frustrating to see how much Cubs fans love him and how good he was here. And I was sold a bill of lies. I thought he was going to be great. He comes
exactly,
and he sucks.
Exactly what you feel is exactly what Cubs fans felt about Javi Baez.
Towards the end.
I mean, it's a real thing. It's funny hearing Robbie trying to explain it to Cubs dumb. And being like, guys, have you seen this guy, Javi Baez? He's crazy. He swings at everything.
You know what's happened? Like, the pitch that has swept the league is this sweeper, this, like, sideways slider. Yes. That goes, it stays lateral, but it goes like right to left on your video screen from the right-handed pitchers.
Yeah.
That's the one he can't lay off. So it changes everything. And Porter Hodge doesn't even have that particular sweeper there. He got him with the fourth strikeout. He got him with a fastball on the inside part of the plate that Javi was, you know, thinking, oh my God, it's a fastball! Or whatever it is.
Because he saw 27 straight sliders to the outside. So then he couldn't imagine that with two strikes, they'd throw him one right down the pipe. But that's exactly what you had to pepper a couple of those in throughout his at-bats. But I'll say this, right? As the resident Puerto Rican here on 670, the score, Javi Baez could do no wrong, my friends. He is like J-Lo. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter if J-Lo's going to get a divorce from Ben Affleck. It doesn't matter, you know, if she makes bad movies or bad albums. You embrace her. And Cubs fans do the same thing, just like Puerto Ricans do. And they just embrace Javi because he is a star, regardless of what actually happens on the diamond.
Is J-Lo getting another divorce from Ben Affleck?
That's what people are saying. That she just filed for the...
They gave me renewed hope in the power of love.
No. It's a reminder that you broke up with someone for a reason. And you think you might want to circle back, but that's just because you're lonely and you think you need to be with someone always. I'm not talking about Jalen, I'm talking about people in general.
Oh, yeah, no, I caught it. I caught that you had transitioned onto people in general. Beware of loneliness. Adam Hoag's not lonely.
No.
How about that segue? How about that segue right there? He's got us to talk to next about the Bears on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.